The fortunate few get their first view of Florence from the south. The road from Siena, centuries-old arch-rival and ultimately loser in the struggle for Tuscan domination, leads you to the heights backing the southern bank of the River Arno. Suddenly, glimpsed through the trees, the glories of Florence burst into view. Giotto's bell tower, Brunelleschi's dome, the Santa Croce. Only the hardest of hearts remains indifferent to this first sight of the valley town. You could even be forgiven a little self-indulgent romanticism as you wonder whether or not you will get a room with a view. The glory of Florence is firmly rooted in its past. Love 'em or hate 'em, the memory of the Medicis, who for centuries commanded the city's fortunes and were in great measure instrumental in unleashing the artistic revolution that was the Renaissance, still lives on. To this day, the family crest of six balls adorns many public buildings, although the city's official emblem, the medieval Guelph faction's red lily on a white background, is older still. Florence lives off its past. So it might be said with some justice that the city seems at first to be one big museum. But what a museum! Florence is a dizzying cornucopia of artistic wealth. The French writer Stendhal found himself swooning before it all, thus giving a name to the condition, Stendhalismo, that some visitors still contract today, a kind of nervous exhaustion brought on by too intense an exposure to art. In its great buildings, from the Romanesque baptistry through to the Gothic Duomo and Renaissance basilicas and palaces, Florence is a showplace of architectural prowess. The city's artists and sculptors, who found such rich patronage in the Medicis and other powerful families, regaled the city with the finest of their creations. Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello, Giotto, the Lippis, Masaccio, Botticelli, Pontormo, and hosts of others left their mark. Formidable galleries such as the Uffizi, Pitti, and Accademia house many of their works. The central square, Piazza della Signoria, seems itself to be an outdoor sculpture gallery. But they are only the beginning. The more you look, the more you realize is hidden away here. The Florence of the late Middle Ages and Renaissance was a financial powerhouse with a Europe-wide reputation, but it was never a romantic place. Its great families built fine mansions to live in and lavished money on the raising of churches and public buildings and their ornamentation. But while some, such as the greatest of the Medici rulers, had a genuinely interested passion in and knowledge of the arts, there was an element of hard-headed showiness to it all. To display greatness was to be great. Florence, even long after it had been eclipsed and was little more than a provincial backwater, remained stubbornly determined to excel in appearance, not always with happy results. To this day, other Italians will tell you that Florentines are a vain lot, heaping money on fine clothes and flashy cars, even if doing so means debt. And yet, surprisingly, they seem to have retained something of their banking forebears' financial common sense. The Florentines, at least in the average Italian's mind, are to Italy in money matters what the Scots are to Britain. The truth probably lies in the middle. And when it comes to dressing well, not a few visitors to Florence succumb to the desire to join the Florentines, rather than to beat them. Tired of art and architecture, they frequently seek relief in the gratifying business of spending money. Home to Gucci and Ferragamo, Florence for some means only one thing, clothes. And for decades, people have flocked here for the leather goods. Prices are not as breathtakingly low as they once were, but deals can still be found. When the shops close, it's time to eat. Although Tuscan cuisine may take simplicity to extremes, with little effort you can keep your taste buds tingling for weeks. With a little judicious sidestepping of tourist traps, you will find some delightful food, and not for thought. And the wine. Florence lies at the heart of one of the world's great centers of quality wine production. The many top-grade wines of the Chianti region are the best known globally, but you can try other exquisite Tuscan drops here too. From Montalcino's Brunello to the Vino Nobile di Montepulciano. Aside from the grape, Tuscany has a little of everything. Using Florence as a base, you can easily enjoy the medieval splendors of Siena, Pisa, and Lucca, and wander the splendid countryside of the Chianti. It is even possible to flee the bulk of tourists by exploring such little-touched areas as Il Mugello and Vallombrosa. Florence is a multiple assault on the senses that leaves many rubbing their eyes and smacking their lips. And, while it may have been on the traveler's itinerary since the days of the Grand Tour, it never ceases to astound.